I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about, well, one of the leading stories in the news right now. President Donald Trump has banned transgenders from serving in the U.S. military. That is the story. Now, you got all kinds of headlines on this. CNN says Donald Trump transgender ban tweet blindsided U.S. Joint Chiefs. Now, I first saw the headline on Breitbart. Well, I saw it a couple other places, and I wasn't sure if it was real or not, because sometimes these stories, you'll see a headline like that, and then it turns out to be something else. But then Breitbart said, quote, "Trump announces ban on transgender people in the U.S. military." And here's his tweet. He announced this through tweets. He said, quote, "After consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military. Our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical cost and disruption that transgender in the military would entail. Thank you." End quote. President Donald J. Trump. That's what he tweeted. That is how he let the world know that he was not going to allow transgenders in the military. Now, this is just a stunning victory for, I think, the Christian community and for anybody who appreciates traditional values, and especially for the military, because the military, many of the military guys, I grew up in the military. Folks, I can tell you right now, I was born in Frankfurt, Germany, 1967, on an American military base. I grew up on military bases in the 1970s, mostly over in Germany, but we lived on a base in New Jersey, Picatinny Arsenal, New Jersey. We were in Fort Hood, Texas. We were at Redstone Arsenal in Huntsville, Alabama. And so I grew up around military men and women. I can tell you, the military absolutely wants nothing to do with the entire LGBT agenda. In fact, a lot of the military guys are furious that all of this political correctness has been interwoven into military politics, as it were, and especially the transgender stuff, because what they wanted to do, what they have wanted to do up to now, is kind of like the whole wealth redistribution scam that they're running with the immigrants, where they, you know, they're setting up Obamacare so they can bring in all these immigrants and then give them free health care and free government aid, just like what they're doing over in Europe. That's what the scam is all about. Well, they wanted to do the same thing with the transgenders. Have the military approve transgender service, and then have all of these guys just go pile into the military and then get free sex change operations paid for by the American taxpayer through the military's medical programs. You know, growing up, because my dad was in the Army, we, you know, whenever we went to a military hospital, we never paid anything, because it was all of that's covered when you're serving in the U.S. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, etc. I don't know what's happened to the military. I see all this stuff on the VA. I have to tell you, it's heartbreaking to see what happens to our veterans. When we were in, my dad retired 1981. Growing up, I can tell you, my mother always said the Army takes care of its own, and that was always the case with our family. I don't even know what to think about a lot of these horror stories that we hear about the VA. But and some of them are told because my family, a lot of my family still lives in the Huntsville area in northern Alabama. And so they've still got Redstone Arsenal there, and they still interact with military personnel. And we know that some of these stories are true. I just honestly don't know what's happened to the military. I personally think the socialists, the globalists, have been working for years to break down and ruin our military because we have the most powerful military in the world. And I think that's what this whole LGBT agenda has been all about. It's been about trying to weaken and effeminize American men, not only in this country, but to zero in on military personnel and to go after them. I watched a video not long ago of a former drill sergeant. He's a relatively young guy, but he had served and he had become a drill sergeant, and he was just hopping mad about what they're doing with the military because they are bringing in all of this politically correct garbage. And it is said, I'm hearing over and over again, that a lot of our servicemen who are real men are just, they're getting out because our military is not what it used to be. And it's not just political correctness, brethren. There's an agenda behind this whole thing. It is to weaken the U.S. military, to make our country more vulnerable, and I believe to ultimately weaken us so we can be undermined and overthrown from within. I think that's ultimately what's behind this whole gay, transgender garbage agenda that they brought into the U.S. military, going back to Bill Clinton. And Bill Clinton came in with don't ask, don't tell. That was just a bridge doctrine. That was a doctrine to get the gays into the military and to create a bridge that they could do it and say, okay, well, we're not going to ask them and they're not going to tell anybody. And that'll just be how we do it from now on. And then, of course, they knew they were going to get rid of don't ask, don't tell eventually. That's why when Bernie Sanders was running for office and he's calling himself a democratic socialist, that's a bridge doctrine. That's all that is. He's trying to ease the country into accepting the idea of socialism. In the end, they would, if they can get what they want, and God forbid, we hope they don't get what they want, but if they could get what they want, in the end, they would get rid of anything to do with democracy, and it would just be full-blown socialism, full-blown Marxism, communism. And of course, this was the reason why we call the last film Bridge to Babylon, because that's really what the whole New Bible movement has been about. It was Dr. Phil Stringer who used the term bridge Bibles when we interviewed him. And he talked about creating all these bridge Bibles. And you study what they're doing, it is a progression of paraphrase and undermining and changing and switching and moving around everything else with all of these progressive translations and so on, and critical text versions, etc., in such a way as to utterly confuse people as to what the Word of God really is, so that things will reach a point where nobody can clearly say, okay, this is actually the Word of God. We don't know. We've got so many different versions here, so many different arguments. There's so much chaos and confusion. And so the New Bible movement, to me, has just been that. It's been a bridge to Babylon. Now you can accept all the lies of Mystery Babylon, the apostasy, the embracing of paganism, of sodomy, of all of these abominations that are condemned by the clear Word of God. They can now be embraced because you have utterly confused the very foundation of what the Word of God is. And as the Bible says, if the foundations be removed, what can the righteous do? The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So if somehow or other, if the word of God is somehow or other diminished in the minds of men, it's like disarming somebody. It's like disarming a believer. Their ability to fight the good fight of faith is diminished because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. All right, so I went off on a little Bible tangent there. But this, just to get back to the story here with Trump and the ban on transgenders in the military, this, to me, I saw this, this was good news to me. This might be the best thing that Trump has done so far as president of the United States. And this is, I had one fellow believer who supported Trump, who actually said they were surprised that he did this. And it took me a little bit by surprise. Even though he has leanings toward the direction of it, you know, giving some amount of favor to the LGBT community. If you look at interviews with Donald Trump years before he became president, years before he was even running for president, when he's being interviewed, I think, by Larry King, but he was asked about gay marriage, and he just was not comfortable with it. There's no question he's not a gung-ho supporter of LGBT anything. Not at all. I think he, in certain areas, acquiesces to it, but I honestly think Trump is a lot more old-fashioned, quite frankly, a lot more traditional. But I think that a lot of what might be behind this decision to ban the transgenders from the military, he is probably looking at it from a financial perspective because he's a big financial guy. And he's thinking the cost of having all these transgenders pile into the military and then expect the military to cover their medical costs, which would be astronomical. The estimate was in the billions of dollars, according to one account. And it just creates a huge distraction for the military. And then they're going to send our soldiers to special conditioning classes so they can learn to be sensitive toward transgenders and all this other kind of stuff. It was just complete nonsense. Complete nonsense. And thankfully, President Trump has cut through it and just said, nope, we're not going to have him in the military. And I hope that decision remains, and that's the one that's upheld and enforced. I think most of the guys in our military want nothing to do with this whole LGBT, especially the transgender agenda. I mean, it just makes a mockery of our military, makes a mockery of it. And it's part of Obama's evil legacy that he brought this wickedness into our system. I mean, there were certainly those who helped the gay agenda prior to Obama. But Obama, I mean, he just took it to a whole different level. He reminds me of Manasseh in the Old Testament, where in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 9, it says, "So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel." Obama was kind of like an American Manasseh. He made the people of America to err, to sin and rebel against God by inspiring this unnatural behavior and trying to normalize it within our system. All right, we are coming up on a commercial break. Let's go to our commercial and we'll talk more when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today in the show, we're talking about Trump's ban on having transgenders in the U.S. military. Praise the Lord. We hope this ban is going to stand. The only question mark I have about it is that the Pentagon, just prior to this now, there were a number of stories that said Pentagon set to lift ban on transgender people serving in the U.S. military. And undoubtedly, whoever it is in the Pentagon that was going to lift a ban on this, they have to be Obama leftovers. They have to be people who were appointed during 8 years of the Obama administration. All right. Now, we all know that we all know what the Bible says about homosexuality. That homosexuality is called an abomination in the scripture. Some people, however, may not be aware, many Christians may not be aware, that in Deuteronomy chapter 22, it also says this, quote, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God." Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5. So God calls both homosexuality and transgenderism an abomination in the scripture. And I think just watching this whole transgender nightmare that goes on, I mean, there's a lot of people out there in the psychiatric community who argue that transgenders are mentally ill. These are mentally ill people who have a very, very high suicide rate. The idea of somehow or other incorporating them in our military and sending them off to battle in a wartime situation is just such a terrible idea. But I'm hoping this decision is going to stand. I'm hoping that it will, and that we're not going to have activist judges and lawyers and this kind of thing, even though I imagine they're going to make the attempt. But since President Trump is the commander-in-chief, he should have the final word on something like this. Another story that's very interesting that's out there is you've got John Brennan. There are all these headlines a few days ago. John Brennan, who is the former CIA director, he was the CIA director under Barack Obama. Remember, Brennan was Jesuit-educated at Fordham University. Brennan is one of those Jesuit-educated government people that specifically pointed to his Jesuit background as helping to shape his worldview. It was also reported that Brennan had converted to Islam at some point. And that was a whole controversy, whether or not he really converted to Islam. That would, just so you know, that would, it would not be inconsistent with Jesuit philosophy for somebody who perhaps had been Catholic before to convert to Islam. The Jesuits really would not have a problem with that once you understand their worldview. They don't have a problem with that at all. I mean, when you look at what's happening in the Western world with the progression of what they're calling the Great Replacement, where they're trying to systematically replace Christianity with Islam, a lot of this is coming from Rome. A lot of it's coming from the Vatican. And, of course, I think the Jesuits are the chief instigators of it. They're not alone, but they are certainly behind it, or in support of it, we'll say. And remember, they wrote the dialogue in Vatican Council II to give the argument for Islam being essentially the same as Christianity, or that the Muslims effectively worship the same God as the Christians and the Catholics. That was effectively their argument in Vatican Council II. And it's that argument that I believe opened the door for bringing millions and millions of Muslims into the West back in the 1960s. All right, so back to John Brennan. Brennan now, Jesuit educated. There are all these headlines from news, internet news sites saying that John Brennan, former CIA director John Brennan, calls for a coup against Trump if he were to fire Mueller, the FBI investigator. If Mueller is fired while he's investigating the whole alleged collusion with Russia issue that's going on and this kind of thing. And there was an interview with Brennan where he tried to make it out like this Russia thing is really a serious issue, and on and on and on. And once you realize that Brennan, I mean, he's talking about in his interview, he's talking about the values, you know, that people should not obey the orders of President Trump if these orders are contrary to supposedly the values that our country stands for and this kind of thing. But this is all left-wing, leftist dialogue. It's leftist indoctrination. It's almost like the assume clothes arguments that used car salesmen make, where they say, well, anybody who opposes gay marriage, well, that kind of bigotry is not our values. That's just not an American value to be bigoted that way, right? So if you oppose gay marriage, you don't really represent true American values. They use those kind of arguments as though our country was founded and built for the purpose of supporting gay marriage. It's pure nonsense. It's pure and complete nonsense. And what is President Trump doing? What is he doing? He's upholding our border laws as though that's not an American value. Are you kidding? This whole age of lawlessness where illegal immigration is concerned, this is all post-World War II. Go and study immigration, brethren, prior to the end of World War II. The reins were much, much tighter. They slowed immigration down. It was only in the 1960s that they really just opened the floodgates and had all of these people. Now we're bringing in, it's reported, about 1 million people a year. Immigrants coming from all over the world. 1 million a year. That's way beyond anything that we had ever permitted before. Our forefathers were more sensible. When people came here, they came here smaller amounts of them. And by slowing it down, what that does is it compels foreigners to be naturalized. Okay, they come in with their children, go to the schools and so on, and they learn to be an American. They learn American values. My grandfather on my dad's side of the family came here as an immigrant from Sicily in the early part of the 20th century. He and my grandmother, they had three kids. I have an aunt who was oldest, then my dad was second, then I have an uncle who was after him. And they were all raised up, but they were taught not to speak Italian, to speak English. You're an American now. You need to learn this language, this culture, etc. And of course, my dad's a very staunch American. You know, U.S. citizen, served 23 years in the military, in the Army. We were a military family, always very patriotic. But that's how you do it. You bring them in a little bit at a time, and you make sure that they are naturalized in the system. This idea of just bringing in millions of them, or hundreds of thousands of them, and then allowing them to very quickly create these communities so that they remain separate from the rest of the country, which is what's happening with Islam. Islam is being brought in, and they're forming these Muslim communities that are going to uphold Islamic values, not American values. And they're keeping themselves separate, and their imams are telling them not to be integrated into our country. To remember, you're not here to get along. They're telling them you're here to dominate, ultimately. That's what they want. Their imams, their teachers are telling them that they are not here to be integrated with the American people. They're here to find a way to undermine and overthrow our country. And this is what makes Islam really different, I think, from any other immigrant group trying to come into the United States. And that's something else that Trump has been trying to influence as well. But all of that was part of the Obama administration. And I find it very interesting that Brennan is calling for resistance against, really, I think what he's referring to in his interview and so on, his comments had to do with Trump's immigration policy, because that goes right after the entire globalist agenda. They're using immigration to undermine these historically Christian countries. All right, brethren, we are out of time for today. That's going to do it for our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.